it was very difficult, you know. When I'm putting hijab, but I feel as if I should cover myself away from people because they will be shouting as if I have committed a crime because I wear the hijab. So that was the situation in the university. But the way I was raised from home, we only felt that if you are praying and you are fasting during Ramadan, then you are a good Muslim, and that is all. You know, if you have money, you go to Hajj, and if you have money, you give zakat. If you do this, you are a complete Muslim. But we don't know that Islam is affects the whole of our life. But it is through the lectures that people like Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzakid used to give to us that we realize that Islam is a complete system of life.
Sheikh Ibrahim Zakzaki graduated in 1979 in economics. He was well aware of the atmosphere at universities, so he decided to do something for the Nigerian youth. He would go to different universities and deliver speeches for students about the concepts in Islam and the Quran. He held classes for interpretation of the Quran. He also established the Association of Muslim Youth with the students. Initially, it was an underground association with limited activities, but after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, its activities entered a whole new phase. Now, even the Nigerian newspapers were publishing news on the revolution in Iran.
When I was at school at 78, we started hearing something about the Islamic Revolution. And alhamdulillah, we all supported the Islamic Revolution. Because at first what we were hearing, we were hearing that there are some Muslims in Iran who are trying to establish Islam. And there is one big Ayatollah, and his name is Imam Khomeini. He's the one who is leading the revolution. So we were supporting the revolution. You know, I could remember at that time, during break time, they bring newspapers to our library. During break time, we quickly rush to the library to read the developments about the revolution, what we can read about it. So the victory that Allah gave to the Imam here, it encourages the Sheikh to see that what we are hoping to happen has happened here in Iran. So we can take the example of what happened here in Iran. It means it can happen again. Because at that time, people has lost hope all over the world. It is during that time, during the first anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, he was invited here. That was January, February 1980. So when he came to Iran, he saw the kind of impact the revolution has made. And then he met the Imam, you know, together with other people that went to go to meet the Imam. And then he told me that it is from that time when he heard about the revolution, even before he saw the Imam, then he pledged to Allah that if he comes to Iran, you know, any mazhab that the Imam is following is the mazhab he's going to do. Because Allah Ta'ala has shown that his Imam is accepted by him, and he's a good servant of Allah. That is why Allah has given him victory. But what happened is that after coming back, when the Sheikh came back to Nigeria, he went to, for instance, many universities, showing them the pictures of what happened in Iran, explanation of what happened in the revolution, and slideshows of things that happened in the revolution.
The victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran gave Sheikh Ibrahim an incentive to step up his activities. After 1980, he openly held his classes and the number of his students increased day by day. After a year, he was arrested and handed a 4-year prison term. In those years, Zinat, who had become one of the top members of the Students Association in Zaria, would go and visit Sheikh Ibrahim in prison. After she visited the Sheikh several times, he proposed to her.
The marriage was in July 1984. So, and alhamdulillah, we are blessed with 9 children, 7 boys, 2 girls. And immediately after our marriage, about 5 months after our marriage, and that is, and 2 months, I was 2 months pregnant of our first son, Muhammad. The sheikh was arrested. He was arrested and accused of because of Islamic activities. And they accused him of saying there is no authority except that of Allah. So he was taken and he was detained without trial for about 9 months. And they were not even they did not allow me to see him except once. So our first child was born when he was in prison. That is Muhammad. He was only released 48 days after the birth of Muhammad.
During the days Zinat used to take care of small children with stress and anxiety, a few thousand kilometers away in Tehran, something was about to happen that left a deep impact on her and her husband's life.
When he read the wasiya of the imam, then after coming out from the prison, that was in 1989, he decided that now he really wants to learn. He wants to know what is it these imams have brought. And in the imam's wasiya, you know, in the wasiya that the imam made, he said that he spoke about the 12 imams, and he said he's calling on people to try to learn, to find out what is the teaching that these imams have brought. And there are people who do not know anything about we are people who do not know anything about the teachings of the Ahl al-Bayt. So it is not good, you know, to bring everything all at once and then make people to just run away, you know. So he tried with hikmah, but these people who have been used, some of them, they are sincere brothers, but they, because of their naive thinking, they were used, you know, by those who infiltrated to start talking of Shia Sunnah. Before that time, we didn't know anything to do with that. For instance, I can say there is one thing that a lot of brothers at that time told me, and sisters, that there was a lecture that we organized the birthday of Sayyida Zahra alayhi salam. So when we organized it, then there were a lot of lectures and symposiums. So we invited the sheikh to come and give us a closing speech. So at the closing speech, there is something that he said, which made a lot of us to start thinking that. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, he came to this world and brought his message. And then after he left the world, people... We have some hadiths from different sahaba, even among his wives. You will hear a lot of hadiths in the Bukhari and Muslim. They are saying Aisha, radiallahu anha, she said this among his wives. But how is it that we have not had anything about reported from the Ahl al-Bayt? Nothing reported from Sayyida Zahra, nothing reported from Imam Hassan, nothing reported from Imam Hussein. Why? Is it because he was teaching people outside and he forget his own family? Is it possible for them not to know? This, you know, he told us, we should think, why? Why is it that nothing is reported by them? When you look, you will not see any of their hadiths. Why is it that they do not know anything? He told us that some people say they are young children there. But people like Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar, and they are all children too. They are age mates. Why is it that they know? But the children, the daughter of the prophet does not know, or Imam Hassan. He said we should find out what happened. So that triggered a lot of people to start thinking that, it's true. Why is it that everybody will report from the prophet, but his family does not report from them? So then you try to check for yourself. And this made a lot of people to start thinking that, there must be something that they do not want from these people. That is why they refuse to report from them. So, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the understanding about Ahlul Bayt started growing and growing more and more. You know, actually, what we can attribute this is just the making of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though Allah has used the Sheikh for the spread of this school of thought there, a place like Nigeria where nobody knows anything to do with Shia. Only after the Islamic Revolution, we started hearing there is one Shia. Some people call Shia, and they do not even believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these lies they are telling about Shia, it made people, when they find out these lies, that it's not true. In fact, they even believe more in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they love the Prophet and his family more than other Muslims. Then they say, so it is lie. Then they start. This made them to start finding out, to know more and more about the school of thought. And it is very important for people to know that the revolution of Imam contributes a lot in spreading this school of thought.
About 200 years ago, a man named Sheikh Osman bin Fodio lived in Nigeria. He introduced the idea of establishing an Islamic government in his region and made efforts to materialize it. Sheikh Fodio's independence-seeking ideas were the most important impediment for the Western colonizers. So, the British colonizers decided that the best way to change the situation was to deviate people's ideas. The deviations still exist and have been materialized in phenomena like Boko Haram. Even though Zaria is a short distance away from Boko Haram's center of activities, Sheikh Ibrahim spread his thoughts to win the hearts and minds of the people in his homeland, not at gunpoint, but through reasoning and rationality. Sheikh Ibrahim would patiently listen to people and talk to them for hours. He believes that the only effective weapon is talking to the people, and once said, if people become aware, they will rise up and no power can stop them. He held the religious ceremonies with people because he believed that he should win people's hearts, not their bodies. This is in stark contrast with Wahhabism, which resorts to intimidation.
Those who are against the mazhab of Ahlul Bayt are people who are having Wahhabist idea. They are the ones who are against. In Nigeria, they call them Izala. They are the ones who always propagate against, because their mentors are in Saudi Arabia, so they have that, something against the Ahlul Bayt, whatever I said. But most of them, they are not educated. So our greatest challenge is them, because they view the movement as a threat to them, to their own very existence. For instance, America, long before America said that that they will come here, that because now they have problem with the oil of Iran, they don't have power over the oil. Iran is independent, and they cannot come and take oil like they used to do during the time of Shah. And now the Middle East is always have there is always problem going on, and they are afraid what is going to happen, especially after the so-called Arab Spring. They started saying that their main resource now is Nigerian oil, because Nigeria has very sweet crude, and they said that it has one of the best crude oil in the world. So now they say that, but they are only, this is a security report. They say their only threat is one, they call him Mr. Ibrahim Zakzaki. That is their only threat now, you know? So the greatest challenge we are facing and the greatest danger we are facing is from America and Israel.
Shia Muslims in Zaria have been gathering on various occasions and have held religious or political ceremonies in a completely peaceful way for years. After the Arba'in gathering in Iraq, Zaria's million-man congregation is the second largest religious gathering. Over 7 million Shia Muslims take part in the event. The Quds Day ceremony is one of the main gatherings of Shias in Nigeria. People rally on the streets and peacefully chant anti-US and anti-Israeli slogans, but the West can't stand such gatherings. So, in the Quds Day rallies in Zaria in 2014, something happened that left a bitter taste in the mouth of Sheikh Ibrahim, Zinat, and their Muslim brothers and sisters. On Quds Day, Sheikh Ibrahim's three sons, Ahmad, Hamid, and Mahmoud, were on the front line of the rallies. They got martyred after the troops opened fire on them. Ahmad was 23 years old and was in charge of an institute named Abul Fazl al-Abbas. Hamid was a teacher in his brother's institute. And Mahmoud, who was 19, was the institute's website administrator. In the evening of the same day, Sheikh Ibrahim buried his sons and chose to remain silent over the incident. His silence dragged on for another year, but it seems the future had something else in store for him and his wife.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to the IRIB English Radio. Welcome to your own program, The Islamic Upbringing, where we are discussing very important issues, problems, questions, and so many Ahadith and Riwayat of Aima Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam regarding our youth, regarding the Islamic upbringing. Today we are having Sister Razia Batul Najafi. She is a religious scholar and we will discuss, inshallah, about so many important issues and we will benefit from her talks. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I'm going to benefit from your amazing wisdom and research. Inshallah, we are going to discuss together.
We all will benefit from the ahadith and riwayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today again, we are going to discuss a very, very important issue. That is how parents should deal with their teenagers. For example, regarding upbringing their teenagers, how should be their behavior? Like they should become very firm, very strict, or very lenient and very open-minded, because these things are very important for upbringing a very fruitful teenage, yeah? And for teenagers also, this is very important. When they see the reaction of their parents, according to that they react usually. So, inshallah, we will benefit from your beautiful discussion.
No, we will discuss together, definitely. I love this triangle, you know, triangle of respect and firmness and friendly. So, wow. If you are friendly, firm, and respectful towards your teenagers, then you will get the fruits.
These are the three very important pillars.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And mostly we as a parent, we are lacking in our authority, in our firmness. Because that is our weak point, you know, because children and our teenagers are our part of our life. So sometimes whatever principles and rules we have made it, but if a child is insisting, yeah, so especially from mother's side, you know, and she's just spoiling the child and saying, let her do this time, not at all. That is, if in a wrong time, if we are lenient, then that can just damage the rules and principles of a family.
This shows that we have to be very disciplined to bring our teenagers especially. And if we are disciplined within our family, within our house, so this teenager will understand, will adopt the beautiful qualities of being disciplined. And in future, he can become a very fruitful part of his own society.
Absolutely. So first of all, we have to have some
discipline rules.
Rules, you know, laws. And we could say these are the limits. We are not allowed to cross the limits. And we have to practice that. Everyone knows that action, speaks louder than words. Yeah,
definitely.
That everyone knows. So our action is there. First of all, then our rulings, we are keep telling our children, our teenagers that these are the red zone. You cannot go. You cannot cross the limits. And we have to be extremely firm about that area, which is we have discussed before with them that this we cannot compromise at all. Yeah. So look at the saying of Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. I love it. I love it. I love it. Truly, absolutely. He says, "Kun layyinan min ghayri dha'f wa shadidan min ghayri 'unf." Like you have to be layyin, very soft, very lenient. But not because you are not able to be firm or to be harsh. No. You know, you are not weak. You are not lenient because of your weakness.
You have authority, power. Can punish your, teenager, but...
Still, yeah, exactly. That is so beautiful. And shadidan min ghayri unf. Like you are showing your harshness, definitely, like strictness, yeah? But without...
Sorry for disturbing. We will take a short break. Inshallah, we will continue after the break.
Inshallah.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So we were discussing about the very, very important, again, issue regarding our teenagers. And you were shedding light.
Yeah, everyone, all of us, we have to sit with the gate of knowledge, Babul Ilm. This is the beautiful banquet which Imam is just spreading for us. And this is the inheritance, which we, as a lover of Imam,
how
we are taking.
How fortunate we are, because we have all these golden hadith and riwayat and guidelines of our Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
Absolutely. So, kun layyinan min ghayri dha'f. So if you are lenient, if you are very polite with your teenagers, because that is your style, that leniency should be because of wisdom, because of some maslaha.
Means in sometimes we have to be very firm. We should not allow our teenagers to cross the limits. But in some areas, we should be lenient.
So if we are polite, that politeness should be because of some reason, not because we are weak, because I don't have any other way to go. And shadidan min ghayri unf means you are very strict, but you are not harsh, you are not bitter. If even strictness is with so much respect. With honor. For example, if your child is not respecting some rulings which you have discussed with your child, your teenager. So
again, sorry, I'm disturbing your discussions. It depends what kind of rulings he wants to cross the limits. For example, if it is about the ibadat or about the sharia, then we are not allowed to be lenient.
For example,
when it comes to halal and haram and these very important rulings of the sharia, then we should not be lenient.
No compromise at
all. But when it comes to the usual things, normal things and disciplinary things in our house, like not watching TV or not drinking any soft drinks or cold drinks, in these issues, maybe you can become lenient.
It depends.
At the same time, you are very firm. You are not weak. You have authority, but you become sometimes lenient. And your teenager understands that you have this authority. You can punish him or her, but still you are ignoring and you are becoming lenient. So it has very good impact in his, I think.
Exactly. Because those are not that kind of red zone, forbidden zone. So you can be lenient in that area.
So dear listeners, we will take again a short break. Inshallah, we will come back quickly.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were discussing about the being lenient and ignoring sometimes and being firm at the same time, yeah. And you have shared a very beautiful hadith of Mawla Ali alayhi salam with us, where he says that, you know, sometimes we have to be very, very firm and sometimes we have to be lenient, but at the same time we have the power and authority.
Absolutely, yeah. Exactly. So I'm just giving you an example that, you know, some of the parents, unfortunately, they are not firm. They're not using their authority. Yeah. The child, you know, the teenagers are very smart. They understand.
Very intelligent.
Our parents are so weak. We can play with their weak points. And they are playing. They are playing. And we are just, you know, running around them. And we are not a successful parents. You know, we are failure because of our own not using our authority, which Allah has given to us. So if a child knows that my parents are very firm about their rulings and they have given by their action this guarantee that if they say something, yeah, very firmly, they will do it. You know, they really respect the about the limits. So for example, if a child, for example, this is the ruling that we have to pray, for example, our prayers, yeah, we have to offer our prayers, like Salatul Subh, for example, morning prayers, for example, yeah, for teenagers,
which is very, very
16 years old is wajib, yeah.
For most
so
of
if
our
someone,
teenagers.
Yeah, if he's not praying, ignoring, you know, intentionally, so if you have, for example, told him or her that if you don't pray, I will not give you your mobile, for example, I'm just giving an example. So if he comes and says that, no, please, mama, give me, you know, I'm bringing Nanima or grandma, grandpa. You know, sometimes they bring all this shafa'at and, you know, the beautiful medium. So you shouldn't be. You can have smile on your face. You're not allowed to insult him or her. You know, this is the meaning
definitely.
Of hadith, yeah? You shouldn't insult. You shouldn't open again the chapter of history, you know, nothing. You're just smiling and you're just saying, oh, my son, oh, my daughter, do you remember? This is our ruling. Yeah, yeah. I can't cross the limit because I'm not crossing myself. So I don't allow you. You are deprived this time. Inshallah, next time you be careful and then you will get your, you know, right. So once it's a very, very tough for parents, I know, because we have that love for them. You know, we always want to just devote ourselves for them. You know, we want to sacrifice everything, but still we have to be firm. If once we are firm, then that will remain in their mind. They say, oh yeah, you know how the police are, you know, they take all the, you know, what we say,
they fine us.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
They
and
do not accept any excuses.
Yeah, I have given many times, many, you know, dollars, $100 for some fines. So always I remember, I say, yeah. Next time I should repeat, yeah. So that is nice because Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala also has taken this style of training in Quran because he says, if you do that, you'll get the punishment, you know.
This is a very good example.
Exactly.
That, you know, at the same time, they are very polite. These police usually, you know, they do not insult, they do not disrespect you, but they are firm at the same time and they fine you.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. If you have any question, any comment, please share with us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's again englishradio@irib.ir. And you can follow us on social media at Call of Islam Radio, Call of Islam Radio. And you can visit us on www.parstoday.com. Thank you for joining us. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Allah, Allah,
Allah, Allah, Allah. اون چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
Imam Khomeini presented the Islamic State in this fashion that the people became infatuated by it and offered thousands of martyrs and disabled individuals for the revolution and for Islam. If Allah forbid, there comes a time when the leaders of society and administrators of affairs behave differently, then know that the Islamic Republic has deviated from its main path. And it can no longer be regarded as being a state that takes steps towards Islam and was of consideration of His Holiness Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, even though on the surface it claims to be one.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Islam and our deeds. In one of his speeches, he has mentioned that let us abandon this satanic cover in favor of a divine one, which means to act according to the Islamic system. In this part of his speech, he is talking about the Islamic system and the role of the people. Therefore, it is necessary for the people to act according to the Islamic rules. I remember in chapter 2 of the Quran, verse number 134, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, which means that that is a nation that has passed away. There is what they gained, and yours shall be what you have gained. You shall not be questioned as to that which they have gained. So the same thing is said by Imam Khomeini, that this satanic system which was before the Islamic Revolution and the things which were applied in this state and the people which they used to do, it has passed away. We have changed it with the Divine One, with the Islamic One, with the Islamic Revolution.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi.
Sallallahu alayhi.
Salli ala.
So this Islamic revolution is something that will give you the power of acting according to the Islam, and it is your deeds that will have a positive effect on Islam, because in Islam it is the matter of justice, it is the matter of humanity, it is the matter of caring about each other, and that cannot be done unless we make our deeds good, unless we reform ourselves. Therefore, we need the reformation. We need to make our deeds according to the Islamic system. Therefore, that's why Imam Khomeini has said that it is to act according to the Islamic system and not to pretend to be someone who lives in the Islamic system, because there are people in today's world who claim to be Muslim, but with their actions, we see that they know nothing about Islam. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day.
Every night and every day.
In the limelight.
New research reveals lost rainforest resiliency imperils biodiversity, carbon storage, and the climate at a global scale. Stay with us for an article in this regard written by Brett Wilkins, journalist. This article is published under the heading "Study Warns of Profound Consequences as Amazon Nears Tipping Point." Here's the story. The ability of the Amazon rainforest to recover from devastating droughts and wildfires has been declining over the past two decades, driving the crucial ecosystem to what authors of a study published recently called a critical transformation with profound consequences. The research published in the journal Nature Climate Change revealed that the world's largest rainforest has been losing resilience since the early 2000s, risking dieback, with profound implications for biodiversity, carbon storage, and climate change at a global scale as rainforests irreversibly transforms to savanna. Satellite imagery analyzed by the study's researchers revealed that over three-quarters of the Amazon is losing resilience. Chris Bolton, a climate scientist at the University of Exeter and co-author of the report, told Inside Climate News that resilience is defined as the ability of the Amazon rainforest to restore itself back to a stable state. According to the site, the study adds to a mounting pile of research projecting that the Amazon will reach a point when it rapidly converts into a different, drier ecosystem, although the timing of this tipping point remains uncertain, and whether it will encompass the entire rainforest is also debated. The authors of the new study have said the change could come within decades. They were reluctant to be more specific, but said the tipping point could be sooner even than current models suggest. The core idea is if the system is heading toward a tipping point where by definition it's getting less stable, this means that before that happens, it gets slower recovering from all these perturbations, like the drought events that are happening year to year, said Tim Lenton, another University of Exeter climate scientist and study co-author. If it gets to that tipping point and we commit to losing the Amazon rainforest, then we get significant feedback to global climate change, he continued. We'd lose about 90 billion tons of carbon dioxide, mostly from the trees and some from the soil, and that's several years of emissions. Linton added that such a development would have knock-on effects elsewhere in the world. The new study notes that deforestation and climate change via increasing dry season length and drought frequency may already have pushed the Amazon close to a critical threshold of rainforest dieback. Other factors, including rising atmospheric temperatures in response to anthropogenic greenhouse gas emissions, may additionally have negative effects on Amazon resilience, the publications added. According to The Guardian, areas closer to human destruction of the forest also became more unstable. Trees are crucial in producing rain, so felling them to clear land for beef and soy production creates a vicious circle of drier conditions and more tree loss. The good news, say researchers, is that the Amazon's tipping point has not yet been reached. Lenton said, so there is hope, who added that the new study's findings should encourage efforts to reverse deforestation and degradation of the Amazon to give it back some resilience against ongoing climate change. Under right-wing Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, the self-proclaimed Captain Chainsaw, deforestation in the country containing approximately 60% of the Amazon rainforest has reached its highest levels in more than a decade. The Brazilian Amazon ecosystem, as well as the nearly million indigenous people from over 300 tribes who live there, are under increasing threat from development, including logging, mining, expansion of agricultural activity, and the construction of a major highway and dam. While the crisis is most pronounced in Brazil, it is also occurring in other Amazon nations and territories, including Peru, Colombia, Ecuador, Venezuela, Suriname, and French Guinea. Chris Jones, a climate researcher at the Met Office Hadley Center in Britain, who was not involved in the new study, told The Guardian that this research adds compelling evidence that climate change is a risk now and that these severe and irreversible impacts could become a reality. We have a narrow window of opportunity to take urgent action, he stressed.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the importance of having a quality food. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the importance of the use of the quality food. When we talk about the quality food, definitely we talk about the healthy food, which is being said in the Quran and in the teachings of Islam. In today's world, we can see that our kids and our own selves, obviously, because we do not have enough time, we go to work, sometimes like we have kids going to the college, to the school, maybe we are working at the same time. Because of the shortage of time, we many times use junk food. We just buy a sandwich, We just buy chips and burger, for example, and the, you know, the other types of the fast food, which is like pizza and all other things that we can see in today's world that we are used to, and we get used to in eating these things. And other than this, if we want to have food, unfortunately, most of us do not know how to make a good food, a healthy food, and therefore we are not ready to spend some time for ourselves in order to make a good food. Whereas it is important, according to the Islamic teachings, that you should know that what you eat has impact on you. It has effect on you. Therefore, when I'm looking for myself, when I'm looking into a mirror, and for example, making my dress right, combing my hairs, similarly, when I want to eat something, I should look at my plate. What am I eating? I should look at my dinner table. What is ready for me to eat? Is it healthy or not? Because Islam gives importance to this. Islam says, if you want to have an Islamic lifestyle, it is necessary to have a quality food. It is necessary to have a healthy food, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the importance of the use of a quality food. We said that unfortunately in today's world, we can see like people are using junk food. They do not have time to cook food at home. And on top of that, they do not know what to cook and what to make for themselves. And therefore, that's why we can see that when such a pandemic like Corona or COVID, when it attacks the whole world, there are many people, unfortunately, who lose their life in this pandemic. And why is this happening? It is happening because the people do not have the healthy food. They do not have a quality food. They're eating junk food. They're eating the food which is not healthy. And we can also see that our generation is weaker than the previous generations. Those who had pure food in their time, those who were eating the quality food, those who were not eating anything. Today, the industry of food has become the biggest industry. Now, the food has been produced through the industry. It is not the people, it is not the nature that is producing the food. Rather, it is the industry. Therefore, we need to be taking care of ourselves and our generations if we want to have a healthy life, if we want to have a life without trouble. And in the Islamic lifestyle, if we want to reach the perfection, it is necessary to have a quality and healthy food according to the Islamic teachings. Islam talks about healthy food. Islam talks about the pure food. Islam gives importance to all these things. Why? Because the mankind is important. The mankind is what it eats. Therefore, if we want to have a peaceful and a perfect life, it is necessary to have a quality and healthy food, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters, 7300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat or BAT 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastorday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.